I'd like to say good afternoon to everyone. I would like to welcome you to a worship service again, one that is facilitated by the Highland Heights Church of Christ here in Houston, Texas. We thank everyone for being on the call, those that are members from our sister congregation, and more importantly, those that may be on the call that are not members of the Church of Christ. You are our honored guests. We thank you for being with us on the call. And what you are experiencing is New Testament worship, where we sing to the Lord without mechanical instruments. We give back to the Lord a portion of that which God has blessed us with. We commune with the Lord by partaking of the body and the blood of the Lord. We also offer prayers, as men has done on this afternoon, on our behalf to the Lord. And then we preach from the Word of God. And on this afternoon, we'll continue with that study. And if you're a member of the church, again, we thank you for being with us. And if you're not, then we want to share with you at the close of this lesson what God has said to you, those commands that God has given to every man, woman, and child that is of the age of accountability, that one must do in order to become a child. No one is a child of God simply by their being birthed, by having physical parents, but you become a child of God when you render obedience to those things that are written in the Word of God, and you're born in the church. The church is the mother, and Christ is the one, that seed that is planted in your heart, God being your father, and you become a child of God, Christ being your eldest brother. And so we ask you to be with us on this afternoon. Listen to the word intently, and I will offer what God's plan is for saving man at the conclusion. On last week, we open up, if you'll meet me and Rebecca, thank our brother for reading the text on this afternoon. We want to simply overview what was stated in chapter 1 as we look at chapter 2. And I want to remind us that when you read the Bible, you're reading a manuscript. When we read the book of Rebecca, the book of Rebecca was simply one continuous manuscript or letter that was written for mankind to read. However, man has divided it in chapters and verses. And so we read it, and sometimes we study it, as we'll do this afternoon. We'll discuss it in the chapters that were divided. And so in chapter 1, those that were with us on last week, we recall that there was a difference in Habakkuk, who was a prophet, and other prophets. We said that one difference between Habakkuk and other prophets, that instead of taking God's message directly to the people, as most prophets did, we find that in this case, Habakkuk takes the complaint of the people directly back to God. And so on last week, we talked from the subject, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. And so Habakkuk brought the complaint to God of the people. And he says in verse 3, he said, "Behold the grievance or the complaint that I have about how God's people are suffering, and they're experiencing violence and their contention and strife that is rising up." And he said that the law is slack, verse number 4. And then God gave a response back to Habakkuk. And again, we're just summarizing and outlining last week's lesson. He said in verse number 5, he says in Habakkuk 1 and 5, "Behold, ye among the heathen," he said, "regard and wonder marvelously." He said, "For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. So God said, I'm going to work a work. He said, now, I want you to wonder marvelously. He said, because I'm going to, God said, I'm going to work a work in your day, which if they told you, you wouldn't believe it. And God said, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. And so God acknowledged the fact that the Chaldeans were an arrogant people. They were a mean people. God said, I know that. I know that how they are, but God wanted us to know. And I think we need to know as people living today that God said, I raised up the Chaldeans. And God allowed them to do. God said in verse 7, they are terrible and they are dreadful. God said, I know they're bad and they're unpleasant people. God said that their judgment and their dignity shall precede themselves. God said, I know how they are. God said, I know them. I know what is going on. I know the violence that in the land. And so God spoke to Habakkuk. And so Habakkuk's response after God responded to him, Habakkuk basically summarized, and I'm going down to verse 14. Habakkuk said, God, the Chaldeans, those that are over us, that you're allowing to be over us, he said, now, they maketh men as fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no rule over them. They take up all of them with the angle, with the hook. And so what he was saying was that, he said, the Chaldeans are treating us like fish. They're doing with us whatever they want to do to us. God, they are catching us in a net, and they're mistreating us. And so he said, shall they, verse 17, shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continuously to slay the nation? In other words, they're able to do what they want to do, God. God, are you watching them? Are you seeing what they're doing? Are these the people that are representing you, God, to do your will? Are you using these evil people to do to us, your people, what they choose to do? God, are you going to do anything? And so chapter 2 this afternoon, God responds. Verse 1 says, Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, Lord, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So Habakkuk said, Lord, let me get up in this tower and I want to see what you're going to say to me and how I would answer. In verse 2, God said, and the Lord answered me and said, and this is my title, he said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. God said, write what you see, and then make it plain. And I want to say to those of us that are in the Lord's body, always be mindful when you are listening to a preacher that they do due diligence to make it plain. Sometimes preachers can try to talk above people. No, but you learn to talk. You take God's word to the people. Make it plain that they can understand what God has said. So God said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, God say, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So understand this here. We are experiencing what man calls the coronavirus. Understand this here. God said in his word, yet for an appointed time. There is a time that God has that no man knows about, but God knows. There's an appointed time. God knows it. He says, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Then he says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. So God again acknowledges to Habakkuk, the one that's over you, his soul is lifted up with pride. He is not upright. But the response that God gives, and we're going to talk about that this afternoon. God says, but the just shall live by his faith. Remember that. And then so God goes on to say, yea, also, verse 5, and I just kind of skip through the text to show the points that God made to him. He said, because he transgressed by wine, he is a proud man. Remember I said, he is lifted up with pride. So God begins to enumerate those things that he sees in the Chaldeans who he raised up, Nebuchadnezzar especially. And he says he is a proud man. That's how he is. And then God says, I want us to kind of follow what God talks about the woes. So when you see the word woe, God is saying sorrow or regret or grief to that person. God says in verse number 6, to not all these that take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, notice now, God say, woe to him that increases that which is not his. So the first woe, God says, be mindful when you are building, gain, and increasing on something that does not belong to you. God say, woe to him. Then he says again in verse number 9, he says, after he talks about the violence, he says, woe to him that covereth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his net on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. So God's second woe, he talks about woe to him again that covereth an evil covetousness. You have greed in your house. And God say, woe to him that has that type of heart in him. God say, woe to him. Then he tells us again in verse number 12, he say, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establishes a city by iniquity. And so God now says, woe to him. We live in a world now where we just recently saw someone that was killed. Blood was shed in the case, if you know about, in outside of Atlanta, where blood was shed, and things are established in a city by sin. God says, woe to him. I see it. I see it. Woe to him that builds something through bloodshed. That ought not be the type of people that serve God, that we live with that type of heart. And God tells us in verse 15, woe to him that giveth his neighbor to drink, that putteth the bottle to him, making him drunk, also that may look on their nakedness. So God again talks about a woe to him. that one that has that party spirit, that you're living your life for yourself and you're not living a life to God. God said woe to him and woe to the Christian that's out there just doing whatever you want to do. It's your thing. You're doing what you want to do. But God said woe to him. Not only drink it, but give it to his neighbor to drink. Then God says in his conclusion, he says, woe to him, verse 19, that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, and it shall teach. He said, behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no life at all in the midst of it. God said, you're talking to wood, you're talking to stone, they have no life in them. But he tells us in verse 20, he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. He says, let all the earth keep silence before him. There ought to be a time in our lives, and hopefully we're there now, where whenever the word of God is preached, the Lord says, let the earth keep silent before him. God is in his holy temple. And so God showed them, Rebecca, I want you to see this. We talked about, we'll go back there briefly, go back to Daniel chapter 4 and see what Daniel saw when he looked, and then we'll talk to those of us Christians today, how do we deal with this burden that we're under. And we talked about a burden being something that we have to accept to carry that is difficult to deal with. It's a load for us to wear it. But we find that God dealt with the Chaldeans specifically. We talked about it just to remind us in Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 28. Daniel 4 and 28. The Bible says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. He walked in, and the king spake, verse 30, Daniel 4, and said, it is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. God says to Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says that while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, God looked at Nebuchadnezzar, and I wanted to say to all of us, we talked about last week, whenever you have those that are not right, or those that are leading you, doing what they want, and seeing that, understand that God said to Nebuchadnezzar, verse 31, he said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. He said, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. In other words, you're going to be sleeping in grass. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. Seven times shall pass over you until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and give it to whomever he will. There was a time when Osama bin Laden was trying to rule, for God rules in the kingdom of men. You know, Saddam, God rules in the kingdom of men. Let us never forget, no matter what's going on in the world, God is always in control. God may allow, but God is in control. what God did with Nebuchadnezzar. As the scripture tells us in verse 33, how he did sleep in grass and the dew from heaven. He slept on it. Bible says that his nails were like a bird claws. And then Nebuchadnezzar came to his understanding, and he prayed, verse 37. He says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that," notice what he said, "and those that walk in pride." God is able to humble you. Let us not live in this country, live in this land, and be afraid of man, be it the mayor, governor, president, does not matter. God ruling in every kingdom. God knows how to humble. Nebuchadnezzar says it. God knows how to take those that have pride and humble them. So, for the Christian today, go back to Habakkuk, number chapter 2. And I want to respond. I want to also tell us this. Go to Jeremiah 25, and let me just share this with you. So we'll know that God ruleth all things. In Jeremiah 25, in verse number 9, God talking through Jeremiah. God says in verse number 9 of Jeremiah 25, "Behold, I will send and take all the family of the north, said the Lord." Watch what he says. "And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon," God says, "he is my servant, and will bring them against this land." But the point I want to make is that, understand this here, Nebuchadnezzar is still God's servant. God controls the world. God allows things to happen. But those things are according to God's will. Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant, not his. God used him for his purpose. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. God told Habakkuk, "But the just shall live by his faith." What is God's vision for the Christian living today? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning at verse number 35. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. This is God's vision for the Christian living today. The Hebrew writer says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." God said through the Hebrew writer, for the Christian today, whatever you do, don't throw away your trust in God. Don't throw away your belief in God. Why, Hebrew writer? Because that trust has great recompense of reward. The word recompense meaning payment of reward. Your trust in God, your belief in God, has a great reward coming. Then he said, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." For those that are members of Highland Heights this month, we're studying our word for the month is patience. So the Hebrew writer says, you have to, it's something that you need. You got to have patience. You got confidence, you trust in God, you got to have patience. What is patience? Patience is the characteristic that does not give up to circumstances that test one's faith. We're living in a time now that is testing our faith. We have a coronavirus out there. We have those that have may have lost their jobs or may be trying to get back their jobs. But God says through the Hebrew writer, you have need of patience. Don't give up. Your faith is being tested. And he says, after you have done the will of God. So notice this. Your patience has to be there. But along with that, you have to do the will of God. You can't just be patient and not do the will of God. He said, because after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Then he says, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now watch verse 38. He says, now the just shall live by faith. The Hebrew writer went back and pulled what Habakkuk told us back in Habakkuk 2 and 4. Now it's necessary for us today. He says, those that are just, those that are righteous, how do we live, Lord, during this time? We live by faith. Because God says, but if any man draw back, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. When you throw away your faith, when you throw away your trust in God, when you stop believing in the word of God, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in that person. Church, what do we do today? We live by faith. We trust in God. God has appointed a time that we're going to experience, but we have to do what God has commanded us to do. Because the Hebrew writer says, but if any man draw back, if I give it up, God says, my soul have no pleasure in him. So I'm trying to encourage us today. That's the vision that Habakkuk saw. God said, make it plain. I'm trying to make it plain to us today. This is how the Christian lives each and every day. That's why the Hebrew writer said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We live for today. That's Hebrews 3:7. Today, if you will hear his voice. How does a Christian live? We live for today. Nothing wrong with planning for the future. But we live today by faith. Because that faith that we have, the Hebrew writer said, not only is a payment of reward, but the Hebrew writer said, it has a great payment of reward. Keep your faith in God during these times in which we live. Understand that God has appointed the time. Our job is to live according to the will of God. Write the vision. Make it plain. I tried to do that on this afternoon from Habakkuk chapter 2. The Lord say the same. We'll look at the conclusion on next Lord's Day. So we see that man is given a burden, chapter 1. God gives Habakkuk a vision, and God say, make it plain in chapter 2. And he shared with Habakkuk what the Hebrew writer shared with us also, that the just now, not yesterday, but right now, the just shall live by faith. I hope you've been encouraged this afternoon and blessed by the Word of God as we live each day in this life as a Christian. And I want to say for those that are not Christians, I want to talk to you specifically now at this time. Turn your Bibles, I did last week, no need to change, in 1 Peter chapter 3. We learn in verse 13 that one can become a child of God. You are not a child of God, I said in my message, simply by being born. You have to become a child of God. You have to be born again, Jesus said in John chapter 3, that a man must be born again. You're not a child of God until you are born again. Jesus said in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot even see the kingdom until you are born again. And he tells us how that birth takes place. In verse 5, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit instructs me to get in the water. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says that for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just or the unjust. All of us, when we sin against God, we put ourselves in the category of being unjust. He said that God, he suffered, Christ did, for our sins, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So that, in verse 18, is the gospel indeed, that Jesus Christ lived on this earth. He died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. God quickened him and made him alive by the Spirit. Jesus lived again, but he died for our sins. Then he says in verse 20, which sometimes with disobedience, talking about those that had lived during Noah's day, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved, notice now, by water. They were saved by water. The same thing Jesus said, that in order to be born again, a person must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You are born of the water. However, you are instructed by the Spirit to get in the water. He said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Christ rose from the dead, that same figure that's talking about water, that's, it's called baptism. Everyone, in order to become a child of God, you must be born again and become a child of God, and you must be born of the water and the Spirit. So what are you saying, Brother Stroud? What I'm saying is that I've shared with you the gospel in verse number 18, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day. You must believe that. You must repent of your sins, those things that you've been doing and living are contrary to the will of God. You must turn now toward God. You must confess. Before we baptize you, we find in Acts 8:37, the confession was made, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must make that same confession. Then we will water baptize you for the remission of your past sins. The Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. And so one must obey the gospel of Christ, believe in the message regarding Jesus Christ, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all your sins, and the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ. I hope this message this afternoon blessed those that are in the Lord, and also give encouragement and instruction to those that are not in the Lord, what God requires of man. God is always in control of this earth. God is. I thank you again for your patience and for allowing me to share God's word with you. I turn it over back over to our facilitator. Thank you very much.